A new series of Between Ourselves, the interview programme which brings together two people who've had profound parallel experiences. Here's Olivia O'Leary.
How much strain can a marriage take? Can you imagine if the marriage vows went along these lines? For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, and when my partner changes sex. Because for both our guests on Between Ourselves today, that's the reality. Their partners are transsexuals, but they have remained married. But did anyone take their wishes into account? What price have they paid, and will they continue to pay it? We're joined by Daphne Gadd, whose husband David became a woman, and Chris Wilcock, whose wife is now Drew, a man. Daphne, when did you realise that your husband David, whom you'd been married to and loved for 25 years, with whom you shared so much, like your music, you played and he sang, when did you realise that your David had changed forever?
Well, I suppose there were several moments I can think of, but one that stands out particularly was just a short time after Penny had started living full-time as a woman. And Penny was singing in a church concert, which I went along to, as I'd been to many before. I enjoyed the music and I enjoyed the first half of the concert very much. And then Penny had to sing a solo. And she, well, David, as she was when I first knew him, her, had a beautiful tenor voice. In fact, that was one of the first things I noticed about David. I would say to a certain extent I fell in love with the voice before I actually got to know the person. But the moment that was absolutely too much for me was suddenly in this concert. I saw Penny looking perfectly natural there amongst the other ladies of the choir, fitting in perfectly. And I heard David's voice coming out. And I fled out of the room. I couldn't stay there. And I just sort of burst into floods of tears, which I don't do very easily. Because I just could not get over hearing this voice from the past and knowing that David was not going to be there again as David.
Chris, when did you realise that your wife of 16 years was just never going to be the same?
I think for me, again, as Daphne said, there were several smaller instances that made me realise, but I kept kidding myself that things were going to somehow miraculously come full circle and come back to how I wanted them to be again. But I think it was really when I visited him in hospital in London the evening after his double mastectomy, I then realised that there really was no going back. I knew already that the drug treatments were non-reversible, but to see the wounds and the scars and the breasts missing, that's really when I had to accept that the only alternative now was to give complete and utter support, because nothing was going to go back to how it was.
Okay, well, Daphne, to turn first to you, how did you and your husband David, as he was then, how did you meet?
Well, we met through music, in fact, because she was singing one of the solo parts in the Gilbert and Sullivan operetta, Ruddy Gore, and I was playing in the orchestra, and then went on from there.
Well, you were married for 20 years, you had three children, you had a dream house in Devon, and then you hit troubles, redundancy, having to move for a new job, family bereavements. How did both of you deal with those crises?
I certainly dealt with it at first by just sort of flinging myself into everything, trying to do everything, just sort of not giving myself time to think. But David was unhappy, and from the time that we moved, really became very depressed. And that showed itself in the fact that he became more and more withdrawn. How he did it, I don't know, but he managed to keep going at work, didn't get any treatment for depression, but did become very depressed.
So there came a point where it all came to a head. What happened?
We went out for a walk, and that was when David told me that he needed to pay much more attention to his feminine side. I found it very difficult to understand, because I thought I did acknowledge his feminine side. I'd always found him, particularly with the children, he's very nurturing, caring. I thought that he expressed his feminine side like that. No, he wanted freedom to dress as a woman. He also told me that he had a name for himself that he'd actually used for himself ever since he was about 3 or 4, which was Penny, and he wanted me to call him Penny, especially in more intimate moments.
How did you feel about that, coming out of the blue as it did?
I was puzzled, and I was also a bit hostile, because I, I thought I did acknowledge her, his feminine side. My first reaction to the name was, but I don't even like that name. If you're going to call yourself by a female name, why can't you choose a prettier name? Now I'm, 8 years later, I'm sure that was because I was just feeling hostile to the whole idea.
Weren't you shocked?
I was, yes. But not so shocked because I did, it wasn't the first time he had talked about his feminine side. David had told me before we got engaged that he cross-dressed occasionally. And all this consisted of was sometimes wearing female underwear, quite often wearing a nightie in bed. I thought that seemed a bit odd, but it didn't bother me. And that was the level at which the cross-dressing stayed through 25 years of our marriage.
But what, when it moved further from what might have been, I suppose, a transvestite stage? When he wanted to become a transsexual, actually change sex?
Well, the first thing that was a real shock was shortly after the walk, when he found some information on the net, and he showed me a list of different categories of transsexual and transvestite, and I looked at this, and I looked at the descriptions, and I thought, oh, yes, that's you, transvestite, yes, that's fine, No, this is me. I'm transsexual. And, I just didn't know what to think. That was a huge shock, because suddenly this was someone, as I understood it, who thought she really was a woman. And I couldn't take it in.
Did you tell the children?
No, not so. It couldn't have been at a worse time. The youngest was coming up to GCSE. The next one was coming up to A-levels, and the eldest one had been seriously ill at the beginning of the year. Couldn't have been a worse time to break this sort of shattering news.
But when he did, yes. How did the children react?
Once they'd had time to think about it, and it had really sunk in, the eldest one felt that it explained an awful lot. She'd found it very difficult to get on with her father as a teenager. I suppose all teenagers do with their parents, but she'd felt that there was a very definite emotional barrier. And now she thought, I know what that was all about.
Your son?
Our son found it hardest at first because his immediate reaction, and for some considerable time after, was, this is my main male role model. How on earth can I cope now? Because he wasn't a man after all. He wasn't really a man.
Well, she started living as a woman about 4 years ago, I think, and must, I suppose, have started to take drugs to help the change?
She started taking hormones just over 4 years ago. It was about 5 months before she actually went full-time as a woman. Sort of fairly quickly, she started to grow breasts. She'd been having electrolysis to get rid of the beard, but the main effect was mental and emotional, because it did make her much happier and much more relaxed.
And suddenly she was probably asking your advice about hair and clothes? And
Yes, she did. And, before that, I'd been helping her to choose clothes. Wasn't much help on the makeup, because I'm not being very good at that myself. But, I'd been offering comments and sort of trying to help her with what suited her. And
was your heart in your boots, Daphne, as you were doing that?
One of the first times I went out shopping with her dressed as a woman, and she was buying clothes. And I so wanted to get things that she looked good in, that suited her, that helped the new image. At the same time, I literally felt I was crying inside, because I didn't want my husband to change like this. I loved her. I wanted her to, and it was making her so happy that she was able to look like this. But I just felt so wretched inside.
So at this stage, she wants surgery?
Well, she's now looking to have surgery.
What's
probably next year. That would be the removal of the male genitals and creation of a female, so it would be the full gender reassignment surgery, yes.
Chris, turning now to you and to your wife, what sort of woman was she when you married? Was she what the old song calls strictly a female-female?
Very, very much so, yes. It's one of the things that struck me when I first met Drew. I always say 110% woman. So everything that's happened since then is, to say the very least, a shock.
So how long were you married before she indicated that she wasn't happy being a woman?
Well, we've been married for 15 years, and Drew first realised that he needed to have gender reassignment and was transgendered in 2000 and started the process about 5 years ago.
When she, and I'll call her she just for the moment, when she told you that, what was your response?
Complete and utter shock. It was like having the very soul ripped out of me, really, because I'd had no prior indication that Drew was unhappy being a woman. So it was a complete and utter shock to me.
Well, for quite a while you were trying to have children.
Yes.
And you'd gone for IVF treatment.
Yes.
Which, of course, involves hormonal treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think perhaps she began to think about it then?
To be honest, I don't know. Drew says that she'd always known that there was something wrong. I mean, the IVF treatment was centred around me, so there was no drug involvement at all that could have triggered anything off. So it was just such a huge change from being a husband and wife trying for a family on one day. And this is how it seemed to me, that the very next day everything had changed and my wife now wanted to be a man. So it was an enormous change.
So how did the change start?
Like Daphne said, I mean, I've been asked for quite a lot of advice about how men dress, how they wear their clothes, how they behave, how they stand, the sorts of interests that they have. So I was having to give advice. Drew always dressed in slacks, so they then became trousers and jeans, rugby shirts. And it was a gradual process like that. And over a period of time, it's just now involve drugs with the testosterone.
And what effect did that have?
Quite dramatic effects. A huge change of character, huge change of temperament. I tell people now that if I met Drew today, I would run a mile, because not the sort of person that I would really want to know.
In what way?
Quite a bit more aggressive. Wants his own way all the time, which isn't a great problem normally, because I tend to roll over and give in. But it is very much a Jekyll and Hyde situation at home, and some days the mood can change several times. There's only so many times that you can tell yourself, well, it's the testosterone that's doing it. Personal habits have changed.
Like
the flatulence, belching, things that some people presume are a male thing. Personally, I find it quite off-putting.
Was done naturally or making a point?
I think mostly making a point.
Right.
Believing that it's part and parcel of being a man. Lovable sometimes, very lovable, but other times it's extremely annoying, and it's not the person that I married.
What about surgery?
Drew's had the double mastectomy, and as I said earlier, that's really when I realised that I'd been kidding myself that it would all go away. You know, I'd wake up one day and find the whole thing was a nightmare, but the day I walked into the hospital in North London and Drew had her breasts removed, I realised that was it and there was no going back. And people often say to me that I have a choice, and perhaps that was the only time I felt that I really did have a choice, and that was whether I wanted to be there and support my wife through whatever or not. And I made the decision on that day that, you know, come what may, whatever was expected of me, I would be there, stay with her.
So. But in a way, Chris, you are what he wants to be, a man.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any envy of you?
Perhaps not an envy of me particularly, of me as a role model for a male. There's also, you know, a sort of a more of a physical envy, physical aspects.
In what way?
What I have always called a penis envy. Things like, you know, sort of standing there and being inspected and helping choose before the surgery, they have a prosthesis and helping choose the right skin tone and, you know, whether it's circumcised or uncircumcised and all this. And because I found that a huge, huge problem.
Because Drew is now going to have
phalloplasty.
A phalloplasty, yeah. Which means that she's going to get male sexual organs.
Yes, yes.
And what's that like for you, sleeping with somebody who has full male sexual organs?
We don't sleep together now because I'm a male rape victim as well, so quite some time ago we stopped sleeping together because I'm sleeping next to a man and I just can't do that. That hurts an awful lot.
Yeah, but particularly for you, as you say, a male rape victim, that had echoes, did it?
Very much so. Yeah, I felt threatened, still do feel threatened. I know that's an issue for me, but it's a very real issue for both of us. I mean, we would much prefer, I think, to sleep in the same bed still, but I can't sleep with a man, even if it's a man that I love.
Turning to you both at this stage, I mean, there's only one question that most people listening would want to ask now. Why don't you leave them, Daphne?
Well, there was a point when I thought I was going to have to leave. I think about, several months after Penny had told me. I couldn't see, she had not by then decided that she was going to live as a woman, but I felt that it was inevitably going to go that way eventually. And I felt that we couldn't stay in this relationship because either she'd be living a lie staying as a man, or I'd be living a lie being in a lesbian relationship, not thinking of myself as a lesbian. But when I came to the point thinking, you know, we can't go on together, and I sort of stopped and I thought, I say, right, I'm going, we split up as amicably as we can, or we try and make this work. And we just had too much together. There was too much there in the relationship, yeah. In the past. You probably felt the same, you know.
You have to look at that to see what exactly are you losing.
Yeah, I mean, it was so much part of me, that relationship.
The person's pretty much still the same. I mean, I was saying just now that the character's changed quite a lot, but I do strongly believe that when we come to the end of this, the hormone treatments and the surgery and everything else, and everything in the body settles down, hopefully that personality that I married will return to some degree or other, because, I mean, Drew's character has changed a great deal.
It's interesting you say that, because, I mean, I felt that once Penny was on the hormones and started being more cheerful, well, in fact, even before the hormones, because just being accepted by me as her feminine self, suddenly it was like having the person I'd married back, which sounds weird when she was changing into a woman.
I think that's down to the hormones, isn't it? Because with taking testosterone, perhaps if there is a wrong way, you're going the wrong way for the person who is married to them, because the wife with all the female attributes is now becoming a male with the male attributes of the aggression, you know, and everything else like that. So it's slightly more difficult to accept the change that way than it is to somebody who's mellowing and perhaps becoming more feminine and that sort of thing. I don't know.
It wasn't so much that she was becoming more feminine. I mean, she was, but the point was that the character of the lively, curious person who was interested in everything around them, who was outgoing, who was friendly, who was great fun to be with, that person had disappeared while David was so depressed. With Penny, that person came back. And I think of that as being the core of the person, and that is a person that I fell in love with.
I've gone into a road rage in the living room sort of scenario. That's the thing, you see, my happy-go-lucky female has become a sort of fairly aggressive rugby-playing type male.
But isn't that at the core of it? The people with whom you had a sexual relationship is gone, and what's happened to that sexual relationship? I mean, that's gone for you, Chris, isn't it?
With no choice. No choice in the matter. You know, I mean, I don't think that 53 I hadn't expected my sex life to stop. And certainly not at somebody else's behest. I was very graciously given permission to go and find it wherever I wanted it.
I had the same at one point,
yes. Well, were you cross? I was furious.
Well, I wasn't so much cross as I just sort of, well, I can't do that. I mean, it was presented to me in a way. She knew that I was highly unlikely to take it up because she knows me too well. But
is your sexual relationship with Penny now over?
No, definitely not. And in spite of being told that the hormones would make her impotent, they haven't. So
so you've continued to have that yes. close relationship.
Yes.
And what when she has surgery?
I think we will still have a physical relationship. We're certainly a very close sort of cuddly relationship, but I think we'll still have a sexual relationship. We'll have to explore different ways of achieving that. That's how I feel about it. But again, I'm much luckier than you because I haven't got the... I mean, I had horrible misgivings about sharing my bed with another woman at first, but not, obviously, in anything like the same way as you had, Chris. Mm.
I wish to goodness I didn't have those issues, you know, yes. but I won't say we haven't been intimate since this process started. But unfortunately, I can't stop my brain kicking in at the wrong time. And it's yes. just as almost as though everything's on fire, you know, and I have to get out of there. And so now I don't even sleep in the same room now.
Well, would you go, either of you, and find sexual partners elsewhere? Is that
I have done.
What
no.
you have done?
Yeah, much to my... I mean, I'm ashamed of the fact that I have, and I know why. It doesn't make me feel any better about it, but, you know, I really needed to know that I was still... I kidded myself that I was loved in a physical way.
Mm. And it took me
a little while before I realised that it wasn't that at all, you know. It was just purely physical, and... I've come through that now.
I mean, it was shattering to me that at first, I mean, our physical relationship took a real downturn because, I mean, one of the big things for me was if she thinks she's a woman, or if he thinks she's a woman, what does that make me? Yeah. You know, it completely undermined my own sense of my femininity. I just thought, what am I? I'd never had a very strong sense of my own femininity. I'd felt inadequate in a lot of ways as a woman. But I just sort of thought, I'm not enough of a woman. I'm not attractive, you know.
So the same thing applies with me. I mean, yes. perhaps because my prowess, if you like, was being put to question. You know, my masculinity, my ability to satisfy in bed and all of this was called into question until such time as I actually doubted it myself.
Yeah.
So why do you both stay?
Love.
Yes, absolutely.
Love.
That's it, yeah.
It's not just the history. It's not the 25 years that you've had, or the 15 in our case, that you've had. It's not the children that you're blessed with. It's the fact that you love them.
Yes.
I mean, we made these vows.
But do they love you? I mean, would it bother either of them if you left?
Absolutely.
Oh, I think very much so.
It would devastate her.
Yeah, very
yes.
much so.
Are you sure?
I have elements of doubt. I have times where I actually do doubt it. But those are the times where I'm just about ready to pack my bags and go out the door. But, you know, fortunately... You go through those periods and you sort of think, well, that was a close shave. Thank goodness I didn't do it.
Mm.
The love is still there. It's taken a different shape, that's all.
You're both same-sex couples when you go out now. Can you remember, Daphne, the first time that you went around, say, to friends for dinner or a barbecue or whatever, and at your side, instead of the David that they were used to, your husband, there was this nicely dressed lady called Penny?
I can remember two occasions, one of which was very funny because it was the first time we'd gone to a party with Penny as Penny, and it was with some good friends, but... There were a lot of people there we didn't know. We got chatting to a stranger, and there were three of us talking, Penny and myself and the stranger. And this lady was asking me about my children, and we were talking about family matters. She turned to Penny and said, "Do you have children?" And Penny nearly said, "Yes, I'm remarkably similar to Daphne's." We both had to sort of try and keep straight faces at that point.
Can you remember going out with Drew, as he now is?
I'll tell you the worst... Yeah? Time we had at all was at Gatwick Airport, where the chappie at the check-in referred to Drew as my son. That was the thing that really upset me, because there was this chap stood there with less hair than I have and a full beard, you know, and only 6 or 7 years my junior, being
this
referred,
is true.
To, being
this is
referred
your wife,
to as my son.
Wife,
yes, my wife was now my son. It made me feel very old and very disgruntled.
Has this all taken its toll mentally, Chris?
It's one of the main reasons why I was medically retired after 33 years with the police. I basically cracked up. I do sit in the living room more or less permanently now with the curtains drawn so that people can't see in. The last 2 days I haven't been able to go out of the house.
Why? Because you feel people are judging you, watching the situation?
I feel very insecure, and I don't really want to be in a position where people are asking me leading questions about Drew or about us. We're in a position now where Drew doesn't know whether Drew's going to be a heterosexual male or a gay male or what. So where that leaves us as a couple and me, and I found myself, I've only recently come out of it actually, but I started finding that I was going on a journey of my own to see whether I could live as a gay male or as a bisexual male or whatever. Both emotionally and physically exploring. And that's taken a huge toll as well, because it's not the person that I really am. It was just trying to conform with whatever Drew had an idea that the relationship would be when it was all finished.
In a sense, I've been much more fortunate, because what it brought out really for me, an admission that, yes, I was probably bisexual. I'd never had any female partners, but I certainly had felt attracted to women, and I had had fantasies about women, and it made me acknowledge that, yes, at least to some extent, I'm bisexual. And that, of course, has made it a lot easier.
If you could change your partner back with a wave of your wand, Chris, would you do it?
No. Drew is so happy now, and on that basis alone, I would have to say no, because I don't believe Drew had the inner happiness that she has now, or he has now.
Despite what it's cost you?
Despite what it's cost us both.
Daphne, if you could, just as I say, with a wave of your wand, change Penny back into David, would you do it?
I would, actually, because although she is so much happier now, she really is very much like the David I first married. And what I would love to wave my magic wand and do is have Penny, the character and the personality that she is now, but still as a man, still as my husband. But I said to her at several times during the process, I would much, much rather live with a happy woman than an unhappy man. You know, that's still very much
true. That's the same for me, but I do tend to sometimes give the answers that I think are those that are expected rather than those that are really deep inside my heart. And as I said just now, deep inside my heart, I'd wave the magic wand and have Drew back as a woman. But from Drew's point of view, no.
Do you think with your partners that you're together forever, Daphne?
Yes.
And you, Chris?
Absolutely, without any doubt.
Chris, Daphne, thank you both.
Between Ourselves was presented by Olivia O'Leary and produced in Birmingham by Karen Greger. The series was developed from an idea by Esther Ranson and Sarah Conkey.